Welcome to the Reality Revolution. I am your host, Brian Scott. We're returning to Henry Thomas Hamblin's Dynamic Thought, Lesson 5. So far, we have done 4 lessons from this wonderful book, Dynamic Thought, which really teaches many of the fundamental lessons to reality creation and the law of attraction. Doesn't seem to be as popular as the other episodes, but I implore you to go and listen to these episodes because they are fantastic lessons in accessing your subconscious and how to meditate. Dynamic Thought, Success and Character Building, Part 5. The objective or conscious mind is the outer or surface mind of mind. It is the finite mind of very close limitations. It receives impressions through the organs of sight, hearing, taste, touch, and smell. It learns from books, speech, experience, and experiment. We have seen that the subliminal mind is one with the infinite mind of the universe, differing only in degree and not in kind. Yet this is useless if the objective mind does not make use of the potential powers lying dormant within. We have also seen that the so-called subconscious mind is pregnant with tremendous power, and that it is a wonderful intelligence, far exceeding anything that the objective consciousness can grasp or understand. Further, that this is regulated and controlled by thoughts, impressions, and suggestions coming through the conscious mind. Therefore, this great intelligence is ruled and governed, or ought to be, by the objective mind. Yet, of what use is all this if the mind of the senses does not govern wisely or does not govern at all, but lets the subconscious mind run amok, as it were, and acting upon instincts and false impressions, untruths and harmful suggestions, turn the whole life into an inferno of trouble and difficulty? Therefore, you will see that the objective mind, although very limited, is in a way the most important of all, at any rate as far as this life and consciousness are concerned, for through it the ego governs or can govern the whole of the submerged mind. The ego is the I part of man. It is his personal individual inner self. The real you is your individual ego. The real you within is seeking expression through your minds and then through your brain and body and outer life. It can only do this properly when the will is strong enough either to carry out or force your minds to carry out the commands of the ego. Suppose the real inner you says to the will, "I wish to succeed in this undertaking." We will imagine that this undertaking is a course of study which requires a great deal of application and perseverance, and a certain amount of sacrifice of pleasure for its accomplishment. It necessitates working while others are playing, the resisting of entreaties on the part of friends to join them in their pleasures. After receiving its instruction, the will passes on the order through the conscious to subconscious mind. But unless your will is naturally very strong, it does this in a half-hearted manner, although this supposed course of study is of the utmost importance, for without it you cannot succeed in your profession or calling. Yet the will is so weak it cannot impress this sufficiently upon the subconscious mind, with the result that there is very little driving force behind your efforts. For a time, the studies go along successfully. For one thing, the first lesson are always easy, and for another, there is the novelty and freshness of the new work, and the glow of self-satisfaction at having entered upon a self-appointed task. But after a time, the tasks get more difficult and require more application and concentration. The calls of friends to join them in their pleasures become more insistent, and the will, not being strong, can no longer deal with the situation. The will, through weakness, allows suggestions such as, "The task is too difficult. Others are enjoying life. Why should not you? Others can get on in life without working themselves to death. So why not you?" to pass down into the subconscious mind, the latter knowing no better and acting entirely upon suggestion, responds accordingly, with the result that the lessons are flung aside, games are indulged in instead, and another failure is written large on the scroll of your life. Suppose, on the other hand, that your will has been reinforced by affirmations. First, the subconscious mind is deeply impressed. It realizes that this self-imposed task has to be accomplished somehow, no matter what the cost may be in hard work. Perseverance, discomfort, and self-sacrifice. Therefore, from the very first, there is great driving power put behind your efforts, a concrete, well-defined image of the object of your endeavor, the successful ending of your studies, the pride of achievement, the pleasure it will give your friends, the great assistance it will be to you in your profession, the increased status, the enlarged income, the better house, the improved condition of living for those dependent upon you. All these combined in one sharp, defined image are impressed upon the subconscious mind so deeply that they form a pattern upon which the mind will concentrate all its intense energies, activities, and powers. The energies and powers of the mind working on definite lines laid down by the will create in the life a complete replica of the image which has been held in the mind. When studies become difficult, instead of faltering, the mind puts forth greater effort, generates more power, and overcomes the subject of difficulty. When friends try to entice you to leave your task and join them in their pleasure, then entreaties fall upon deaf ears. You reply, "I must complete this course of study," or "I must pass this examination." When I have succeeded and won the position I seek, then, and not until then, I will unbend a little. This is why very few men succeed and many fail. Most men or women have not the staying power to succeed. They have the desire to succeed, but they lack the force of character and the necessary willpower to carry their plans to fruition. Some men or women are full of splendid ideas, but they never carry them out. They see their opportunities, but lack the strength to take advantage of them. Such a man or woman always has plenty of excuses for their non-success, any reason but the right one. They will never admit that it is their will that failed. Circumstances, they tell you, were against them. Nobody would help them at the critical moment. Something or other happened which accounted for their failure. And so it was that they gave up their little business just at the moment when it needed but a little push to get it past the corner and on the road to a permanent success. Now they work for another man, and for the rest of their life will be servant and nothing but poverty and the workhouse to look forward to in his old age. The number of men endowed with the necessary strength of will to succeed by willpower alone is comparatively small. For one who can succeed in this way, there are thousands who must fail. These thousands of failures might be turned into successes if they only realized the power within them and understood the wonders then can be wrought from affirmations and mental imagery. Men and women endowed with but the ordinary amount of willpower can achieve success beyond their wildest dreams when they have learned to use the true inward powers and to reinforce their wills by the use of affirmations and mental imagery. But it must not be thought that because you are being taught valuable metaphysical knowledge that you can neglect your will. On the contrary, the training of the will is of the utmost importance. In order to succeed, you need imagination and vision, faith in yourself and the power within you. But more than all else, staying power is required, and this is largely dependent upon the strength of the will. Desire to succeed, energy, ambition, ability, intellect, imagination, capacity, large ideas, all are good, all vitally necessary for the achievement of success, but they are all useless if staying power is lacking. If the will is weak, then nothing can be accomplished. Therefore, one of the primary objects of this course is the building up within you of the staying power, that strength of purpose, that stability of character, that inflexibility of will that are necessary for the achievement of the highest success. While it teaches valuable metaphysical knowledge, which gives you a tremendous advantage in life, because it reveals to you your inward powers and shows you how to use them. Yet these powers and forces have to be controlled by your will, otherwise they may work harm instead of good. Do not misunderstand me. I do not teach that except in a very few cases, success can be won by willpower alone. It is not willpower that creates, inspires, and attracts success. It is the subliminal mind that is the fountain of perpetual power and the storehouse of wisdom. It is the subconscious mind that provides the driving power, but it is the will that provides the staying power. The ego decides what is to be done. It is the will that compels the subconscious mind to carry out the wishes of the ego. It is not the will that executes. It is the power of the subconscious mind. All other systems of instruction with which I am acquainted teach a series of gymnastics for the objective mind and a kind of will training by brute force. It is a joyless quest seeking success along these lines. It is equivalent to trying to start an automobile engine with the petrol turned off or without first switching on the electric current. Scientific thought arouses the latent powers within, puts the student in touch with all the cosmic forces, and trains the will in order to direct them towards the accomplishment of his ambitions. The ordinary and time-honored way of trying to develop the will by brute force is almost always unsuccessful, and even when it succeeds, is an extremely slow and painful method. In this course of lessons, the strength of the will grows almost imperceptibly. All the affirmations and exercises, if done systematically and thoroughly, will strengthen your willpower out of all knowledge if you will pay great attention to the affirmations. And persevere with the visualizing, you will find that your willpower will increase to such an extent that you will become a new creature. Therefore, pay the greatest attention to these things so that your willpower may increase and its development keep pace with your increase of knowledge. Affirmations rob the training of the will of half of its terrors. If you affirm calmly and steadily and confidently that you will perform some difficult or unpleasant duty at a certain time, you will find, when the time comes, that there will be an impulse urging you to perform that duty. And when you screw up your courage and go and do things you dread or dislike, you will find to your surprise that it is not half as difficult or unpleasant as you thought it would be. This is the power of the subconscious mind. It not only urges you to act at the proper time, it also supplies you with the power to act. It must be pointed out here that when the subconscious mind gives you this impulse, it must be obeyed. If we will say you have affirmed both overnight and early in the morning that at 3 p.m. you will go into your chief's office and ask for a raise of salary, then when the time arrives, go and do it. Fear will say he is a very stern, unpleasant man and will only snap your head off. Put it off for another day. Instead of listening to the voice of fear, deny it and say, there is no fear. Man is a perfect mental creature and can know no fear. Then affirm, I am courageous and fear no man. I am success. I attract success by the infinite power within me. And buoyed up by this, go and see the man at once. You will find him far easier to deal with than you expected. If you do not get the raise, you may pave the way for it, or by finding out why your quest is refused, you may be able to make a raise possible in the near future. In any case, you have done yourself good. You have strengthened your will and lost your fear of a man you formerly rather dreaded. If, however, you listen to the voice of fear and put the dreaded interview off until the morrow, you do yourself a grievous harm. If you affirm that you are going to do a certain act and then do not do it, even your faithful subconscious mind gives you the helpful impulse, then you are destroying your mental powers root and branch. You are deliberately slamming the door of progress and achievement in your own face. If you have an alarm clock and set it to act at a certain time in the morning and then get up directly its bells ring, that clock will always awaken you. If, on the other hand, you turn over when the bell rings and go to sleep instead of rising, then never again will you be able to hear the clock ring. As an alarm clock, it will be useless. So it is with the subconscious mind. When it prompts, obey it. For if you do not, it will soon cease its promptings, and this wonderful power will be lost to you. So you see that by the use of affirmations, you can so influence the powers within you that things impossible to you before become comparatively easy of accomplishment. The only condition being that you act with decision, that you go fearlessly forward and do exactly what you have planned to do. Now I want you, from this time forward, to do each day something that is unpleasant or difficult, but which you really ought to do. It may be that you really ought to go to your dentist. You are aware that your teeth are getting rapidly worse and that the dentist could stop the mischief if he were given the opportunity, thus saving you much pain, loss, and ultimate expense. You know that your digestion and consequently your general health are suffering through this neglect, and yet you keep putting the matter off. It means the trouble of arranging appointments, the sacrifice of a certain amount of time, and the expenditure of money. Also, it is unpleasant to say the least, so having been let off the matter drift. Or it may be that there is a certain man you ought to go and interview. You know that if you could get him interested, a lot of profitable business would follow. You have, however, put off visiting him from time to time because he is a great man and has an antipathy to people such as yourself. You know that if you do see him, you will most probably be snubbed most unmercifully, and that no business will result. For these two reasons, you have avoided what promises to be an unpleasant interview. Whatever the unpleasant duty may be that you decide to perform, you should prepare the way by denials and affirmations. For your visit to your dentist, you can deny and affirm as follows. There is nothing to fear at the dentist. There is nothing he can do to me that I cannot take smiling. Therefore, tomorrow at 11 a.m. I will write or phone for an appointment with Mr. So-and-so. He will put my mouth in splendid order, and this will benefit my health. After saying the affirmation over several times, visualize a picture of yourself in your office. You see yourself look at the clock on your desk. It is 11 o'clock. You see yourself take up the telephone and ring up Mr. So-and-so and hear yourself arrange an appointment. Or you see yourself dash off a note to your dentist asking for an appointment. Next, you picture yourself in perfect health and your mouth in splendid order. The next day you will have no difficulty in carrying out what you have affirmed. It is a difficult interview that you decide to undertake. Make the affirmation for 3 or 7 days, if possible, before the interview takes place. Proceed as follows. Raise yourself up mentally into your perfect world of mind and deny fear. Say, I am a perfect, radiant mental creature. I am one with the infinite universal mind. Therefore, I am full of courage. No one can make me afraid. On blank day at noon, or any other time you can arrange, I will interview Mr. So-and-so. He will hear what I have to say, and the result of the interview will be satisfactory to me. I do this not by hypnotic power, which is evil, not by mind domination, but by the law of attraction. After affirming in the usual way, visualize your interview. Imagine yourself engaged in conversation with them, who seems interested in what you are saying. See yourself entirely at ease and quite natural in your manner. See yourself making a satisfactory end to your interview. Do this very earnestly every night and morning until the interview takes place. When it does take place, you will find it to be more satisfactory than ever you had dared hope. When you have learned in this way to act with courage and decision, you can leave off using affirmations for such small matters and use them for more important things. As you progress in scientific thinking, you will find wonderful possibilities opening up before you, so that you will always find a use for all the time that you can devote to denials and affirmations. As you advance in knowledge and power, you can transfer your affirmations to more difficult problems. Your character is constantly growing in strength and virility, and things that were impossible at one time become easy of accomplishment, but always front of you lie fresh fields to conquer. There is no limit to the life of the mind. Before every affirmation, make the great mind cleansing denial. There is no evil, and its complementary affirmation, only infinite good. Every time that you make use of these, you have taken something evil out of your life and in its place put something good. If you use them 100 times a day, it will not be too many. You cannot use them too much. The visible world is described by some deep thinkers and metaphysicians as heaven obscured by a mist of matter and evil. through which it is seen but faintly and falsely. If this is so, and it is to a certain extent true, then every time that you make use of this great cleansing denial and affirmation, you disperse some of the mist so that you can see heaven a little more clearly. But this as it may, it is certainly true that the use of the denial of evil and the affirmation of good do indeed remove evil and replace by good, so that life becomes happier, brighter, more prosperous and harmonious. Even the flowers and trees and our fellow creatures become far more beautiful and lovable than ever before. The world and life are surpassingly beautiful, but not if you view them with a jaundiced eye. If life and the world are not entrancingly lovely to you, it is because your eyes are obscured by a mist of evil, or your mind is clouded so that you cannot perceive and understand. If you will deny evil and affirm good at every possible moment, you will, every time you do so, make the beauty and grandeur of life and the loveliness of the world more apparent to your senses. If you will persevere day after day, and week after week, and month after month, you will come to that stage when you will see things as they are, face to face. You will then be unable to find any words with which to express the glories which you behold. And not only do beauty and loveliness, happiness, joy, and content come through the denial of evil and the affirmation of good, but the same thing applies to circumstances. Poor or difficult or unpleasant circumstances are all evil. Poverty, lack, and want are like disease, quite foreign to that which we know as good. By the denial of evil, we cast out all these undesirable conditions from our lives, and by the affirmation of good, we attract into our lives true success and prosperity and freedom from every kind of lack and limitation. Every time we do this, we make our lives a little better. It is by constant and continual use that we not only stem the tide of evil, but make progress in the right direction. Therefore, the denial, there is no evil, and the affirmation, only infinite good, should be as much a part of your life as breathing. Continue with the same general affirmation and visualizing exercises, and make your own denials and affirmations as you need them every hour of the day. Meditation. Take a simple flower. Examine it carefully. Note its purity and sweet loveliness. All poets who have ever lived have never been able to describe adequately its beauty and fresh purity. This flower is an expression of the universal life of mind, as I am an expression of the universal life of mind. Therefore, we are brothers and sisters. There is only one life, one mind, the universal, and I and this flower are but individual expressions of that life and mind. This flower is a messenger from the unseen. It tells me there is no evil. The intelligence that produced this lovely emblem cannot be evil, cannot produce evil. Therefore, there is no evil per se, only that which exists in my own animal mind. Therefore, I hear the voice of the flower in silvery accents. There is no evil, only infinite good, and I am content. Appendix. Continue to practice concentration upon one thought or image to the exclusion of all other thoughts and images until the mind is perfectly calm. When you have thoroughly mastered this, and not before, you may begin to make use of this wonderful intelligence which you have harnessed to your service. This is explained fully in Lesson 11, but in order that you may start getting results at once, the following instruction is given. Just as you're falling asleep, calm and still the mind in the manner shown, and when you have succeeded, bring your problem before your mind, and affirm that while you sleep, your subliminal mind will solve your problem and give you the answer in the morning. Next, dismiss the matter from your mind and go to sleep. In the morning, when you are awake, refuse to worry about your problem or engage in nerve-wracking thought about it. Instead, still the mind, as before, and the answer will come. If you've been an early student of the Bible, it may come in the form of a text. If you've been brought up on proverbs and worldly wisdom, it may come in the form of some wise old saying, or to some, it may come in the form of a whisper. The more you practice this and make use of this faculty, the clearer and more certain will be the results. Read this lesson over and over as you can find time to do so. Hold in your mind a sharp, definite picture of the success you've planned. If it is money that you desire, then see money in abundance, pouring in the streams onto your desk. If it is health that you need, hold a picture of perfect health ever before your mental eyes. If it is a wealthy practice, then mentally see yourself in a perfectly appointed office, receiving wealthy clients in large numbers, and see them waiting patiently in queues for their turn to see you. Whatever it is that you desire, no matter whether it be invention, genius, love, friends, house, lands, or service to others, picture it very definitely and distinctly and hold this image over before your mind. Keep constantly calling it up, and every time that you do so, let the sight thrill you with pleasure. As you call up the picture, affirm, "I am success," and believe that it is already yours. Keep on affirming success, visualizing success, and it will surely come, and in much larger volume than you ever imagined possible. I wish you the highest possible success. And so that is the fifth lesson from Dynamic Thought. I really like how he makes these principles and ideas and techniques apply to real-world situations. Using denials and affirmations is important. We've talked a lot about affirmations in other episodes, but denials are just as effective. If you have something that's coming up all the time, deny it, right? If you are really struggling with something, then deny it. And then affirm the opposite. It's very important that you affirm the opposite as well. This is a sort of scientific thinking, but you can apply these things scientifically. If you're struggling to do something, for instance, it could be simply waking up in the morning early, then imagine yourself waking up in the morning early, happy and energetic, and deny that you're tired in the morning. If you have something that you're trying to do, use this concept. Deny what it is that you're struggling with, affirm what it is that you want to do, and visualize yourself doing it. It's pretty simple, but here he really says that repetition over a period of time will help you. So if you have an interview coming up, you deny that you're fearful of the interview, you affirm that you're successful at what you're going to do, and you visualize yourself doing it properly. It's a simple process that works very, very well. And these future lessons will expand upon it. Check out the other lessons. As with all these lessons, you don't need to do them in a row. You can do them in whatever order that you want. Each one carries definite wisdom in it. This is the dynamic thought that Henry Thomas Hamlin was dedicated to, and I love it. So I will definitely continue with these lessons, and I recommend you check out the other ones. They will help you out greatly. Some of those have some great meditations. In any case, all episodes of The Reality Revolution can be found at therealityrevolution.com. And welcome to The Reality Revolution.